Hello, internet friends. My name is Anthony Russo. I'm better known to some of you as The Bible is Funny. That is an Instagram account that I started several years ago and have been running ever since. I absolutely love doing that. And we're going to turn it now into a podcast because I looked around the world. I looked far and wide. I looked deep. I looked high. And I found that there weren't enough podcasts. So that is why I said, you know what we got to do is we got to start another podcast. And that's why you're getting a Bible is Funny podcast. As I said, my name is Anthony Russo. I'm recording this podcast in my house right now. My wife is on the couch. Her name is Rachel. She is eating ice cream as quietly as she possibly can. But if you hear any ice cream eating noises, that's her. My two kids are asleep. I have a 4-year-old son, Crosby, and a 2-year-old son, Finn. Finn just turned 2. And then I have a dog. I have Penny Lane, a dog who's a mini schnauzer, who is just a real testament to stick-to-itiveness because she was supposed to be like 5 pounds and she ended up being like 45 pounds because she just never quit. And she's a real inspiration to us as a family. So that's my family situation. I don't put my face on the Instagram account a lot. I've actually even had people ask if I'm ever going to do like a face reveal. And I have revealed my face is the thing. Like, it's not like a huge secret. I've put up pictures on there. I actually put up our Christmas card this year. But I just don't put my face on it a lot. I don't know why. I think I probably should. Then I'm going to work on that. You know what? Between me and you, podcast fam, I'm going to start working on that. I'm going to put my face on the podcast. I can't put my face on the podcast. I'm going to put my face on the Instagram more. So I wanted to talk to you guys about how The Bible is Funny got started here in this introduction. What I think we're going to do on here regularly is go through stories of the Bible that I think are really funny, because that's actually how this whole project got started. I was talking to my wife, Rachel, who's eating the ice cream, you may remember from earlier, and just talking to her about like a project I wanted to start. I wanted to work on something big. I've been doing comedy since I was 15 years old. I've been doing live improv comedy, and I did some videos for a while that they were called Super Talks videos. Shout out to everybody that ever sat through a 17-minute long Super Talk video that I made, because they were obnoxiously long. They were stop motion videos featuring little superhero action figures, and me and my buddy Charlie did all the voices for them. They were very long, but you know, YouTube was like the wild, wild west back then. Some of you youngins probably don't remember. We were all using, you know, licensed music for everything and licensed characters. There were no rules. You just turned a microphone on yourself and you made up a song called Chocolate Rain, and a million people watched your video back in the days. And now, you know, you got to be churning out a makeup tutorial a week before you're making any sort of real impact. But I was doing Super Talks. I was doing live shows. And I was like, I want to do something that, like, just kind of a bigger project. And I really would love it to involve the Bible. So we talked about that a lot. I started reading through the Bible and jotting down thoughts on like every single verse. And it was kind of coming across like a commentary, like a Bible commentary. And it was not very good. It was like kind of snarky and just not a good tone. Wasn't real reflective of the way I actually feel about the Bible. And it wasn't super funny. So I completely abandoned that idea. Which is like a life motto I have, which is that if at first you don't succeed, you know, quit. Just totally quit and try something else. Jot that down. You know, that'll get you far. So started doing some other things. I started kind of pulling out, like, really the primary thing was I wanted to do a blog. I wanted to do a blog about like funnier sections of the Bible that I could like write out more fleshed out blog posts about. And while I was reading through the Bible, kind of jotting down some thoughts just during, just as I was reading, I started to jot down like just one verse jokes that I thought were kind of funny. And so I didn't know really what to do with them. And then we started doing the blog, tried to put out like a blog a week, and then a couple of these posts, which just would feature like one joke. And it was like, it was going okay. Everything with it was going okay. I was just kind of finding the voice of it and the flow. I was getting a lot of hate early on. Like a lot of people thought the whole account was supposed to, was just like making fun of the Bible and that I was like against Christians and making fun of Christians. Like for the first several months of the project, I felt like I was just constantly justifying myself to strangers. Like, I promise, though I like Christians, I am a Christian. I was a pastor on staff at a church at the time I started the account. So it was a super funny juxtaposition of like, that's my job, is to be a pastor at a church. And yet here these people online think I am not even a Christian. One person went as far as to compare me to the devil. A couple of people told me I was going to hell. It was the beginnings of the project were funny in that way. So as I'm doing this the whole time, I'm writing the blogs. I was really happy with the blogs. And I start doing the posts. And I'm like, this is not a meme account. It's not a meme account. I don't make memes. Memes are lame. And that's not me. And I don't make memes. And then I was doing I was managing the Instagram account, and a very, very kind person reached out to me. They are an Instagram account called The Normal Pentecostal. And they were like, hey, your content is really good and really funny. You should just make these into memes so that people can share them and people can find them easier. And like, just if you just own that you're a meme account, it'll just help you in so many ways. And she was so great. She was so like just kind and super nice. And someone I'd never met. I only knew from the interwebs. And at the time, like the post, they were just the verse was in the post. That there was like always like a little joke. If you follow the Instagram account now, like there's obviously like a meme, like there's a joke in the top and then there's a verse. So at the time though, when I was doing this, it was just the verse and then the joke was kind of buried in the caption. It was really hard to share with your friends if you did want to share it with your friends. So because of The Normal Pentecostal, I just embraced being a meme account and then started to pick up traction a lot faster after that. Probably a while after I started the account, but a while ago at this point, I wanted to do a podcast. And I even recorded a couple episodes of the podcast. And the first one, the introduction that I'm re-recording now as we talk, I wanted to say why I did this. Like, why did I do the project? And why, what was I trying to like teach the world? And the reality is I was not trying to teach the world anything. And I think that's why I was not super thrilled with how that podcast came out. I just wanted to do something that interacted with the Bible, that kind of like put the Bible front and center, that was another good excuse for me to interact with the Bible regularly, and that maybe would get some other people to interact with it in some fun ways. But I really, truly, at the start of it, did not have any sort of grand intentions, and I'd be lying to you if I sat here and said I did. But I do feel like I've learned a couple things in doing this, in continuing this project. And again, like the flow of the project is I read through the whole Bible super slowly and with like a super fine-tooth comb, just trying to jot down everything I thought could be funny or was funny, every like group of passages, every story, every individual verse. I just wanted to jot down like everything that I thought I could maybe go back to and use for content or just use for different things. And then, you know, obviously, as you can imagine, everything since, every time I read the Bible personally or I'm sitting in church or whatever, like I'm always kind of scouring and jotting down just little thoughts based on that. But I'm doing that. And because I set out to do that so intentionally, I grew up in church in like the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And at least for me, I don't know if this was your experience, if you did happen to grow up in church. At least for me, like I know there was a real heavy downplaying of the Old Testament. There was like, I mean, even as so much so that people would sort of casually say like, well, because Jesus came and Jesus did what Jesus did on the cross. We don't even need the Old Testament. We can kind of ignore the Old Testament. And I don't think that was ever said with any sort of like ill will or anything. But this, if I was being honest, I've been a Christian for all of my life that I could remember. And this was the first time I was like really diving into the Old Testament. And just really looking at it like just as closely as I could, going super slowly for, you know, my ulterior motive of jotting down funny things for the Bible is funny. But I feel like I felt like I was learning a lot, you know, just being in it. You can't help but not all of it's funny. Most of it is not funny. So you're just taking away what you're taking away from any bit that you're reading or going through. So I was reading through the Old Testament and I was just so, I mean, I would call that a really like formative, life-changing time for me because, for me personally, I'm just really impacted by stories. Like, I think they're so, when I hear stories, I'm really like moved by them. They just spark like life in me. So just pouring over Old Testament stories and like they're, you know, for again, a kid like me who grew up in church, some of them can feel a little bit tired and you can like approach the story of David and Goliath and be like, oh, I get it. David's out there and he's a little shepherd boy and he gets his rocks and he throws them at the big giant, yada, yada, yada. But when you're looking for like really tiny details, you're just looking at everything a lot closer. So for example, in the story of David and Goliath, this is just a freebie for you podcast listeners. There's a really funny part where one person in the camp kind of goes on about whoever kills Goliath, the king will give him all these countless riches and he'll never have to pay taxes and he gets to marry the king's daughter and he gets all this stuff. And he like goes ad nauseum explaining all of the great things that are going to happen to this person who kills Goliath that King Saul is going to give them. And then David walks up into that scene and says, hey, what's going to happen for the person that kills Goliath? And to me, it's always been such a funny image of like, David's already the youngest of his brothers. His brothers don't want him there. If you've ever been a little brother or had a little brother, you know that there's just sort of a constant annoyance with your little brother whenever they're around you and your friends. And then here comes David making this poor guy say all this stuff all over again. So you're looking at stories like that and you're just seeing details like that, but you're also taking away just different things. You're noticing different things because you're interacting with these stories as an adult now. Like your view of life is much larger. Your view of the world is much larger. Your understanding of kind of how things work. I mean, if the last time you interacted with these stories really was when you were like 10 years old, you're just going to approach it from a different perspective now. So that was a huge thing for me. And I would super encourage, man, if you've not like worked through the Old Testament, listen here, there's some parts that live up to the billing. Okay, you're going to go through some parts in Numbers and Leviticus where you are just going to go, what am I reading right now? What am I reading right now, Aunt? What did you get me into? So yeah, go ahead and brace yourself for that. But I did, I even read a book during that time. My best friend, Tim Wyckoff, who does Isaac Improv with me, he's been involved in this project very much since the beginning, and he does all the videos that we produce, and he stars in the videos with me. He got me a book for my birthday called A Year of Living Biblically, and it was this guy who, he's not a Christian, but he attempted to live out the biblical laws to the best of his ability for a year. He jotted down like every law, every like thing that it told him to do, he did it. As well as he could, you know, given his context. He lives in New York City and there were some things he, you know, he couldn't do. And so he either modified them, he just did everything the best he could. It was super funny read. He's like a funny writer and not a spiritual book. I wanna bring that home really hard. don't go picking it up to like read during your quiet time. Supplement. It's like it's different than your quiet time. But what he took away, again, this guy who is not a Christian, doesn't profess to be, says if he had a religious, he's got a great line early. He says that he and his family are Jewish the way that Olive Garden is Italian, meaning kind of like just barely. And so he took away, though, when he did all this, he said, you know what's so interesting is that when you look past some of the absurdity of the law based on, you know, culture changing, right? Like, there's so much that's different about, like, society that it doesn't resonate with us. But when you look past that and you really see the heart of what they were doing and why they were doing it, there's usually a really good thing down here at the bottom, at the core of it. And they were just, they were practicing that really good thing in the way that they knew how. So it was a super interesting take from this guy who, again, just had no real religious affiliation, no strong religious affiliation before he undertook that project. And it was another thing that just sort of like sparked my love, my renewed love for the Old Testament. So podcast one, that's one of my thoughts for you guys. Get into the Old Testament. Super fun, super rich, such great stuff in there. I love it. Another thing I thought was cool as I was going through this was this project for me felt supernatural. Not supernatural, like it was supernatural. It felt super. You get it. It was a natural project for me to undertake because I grew up with the Bible. I grew up in Awanas. If you did Awanas, I was at church, you know, all the time. Me and my mom, and then when my mom got remarried, we were just at church all the time, like 3 days a week, regularly, for most of my middle and high school life. And so for me, like, the Bible was this friend in this part of my life that I grew up with. Everybody at church was a friend. Like, church people are, I've said this before, like, church people feel like my people. I'm always comfortable when I walk into a church because that's where I grew up. I mean, even when it was just me and my mom, that was like our family for a period of time. So I just feel really comfortable in those spaces. None of it scares me. None of it intimidates me, really, because it's so second nature to me. And it has dawned on me in doing this project that that's not everybody's interaction with the Bible. Sometimes you don't start interacting with faith or Christianity or religion or the Bible until you're older. And sometimes that's because you were introduced to it early and you sort of stepped away, or it didn't really hit at that time. And sometimes you didn't grow up in a family like I did where it was so ingrained in what you did. And my fear is that sometimes that first interaction with the Bible is really like abrasive, and it's really like the Bible is like the rule book that tells you everything that you're doing wrong and everything that you need to change. And that's your first interaction with it. And I just hate that for people because I think this is such a beautiful book and there's so many great things in it. And first impressions can do so much. So for me, I feel so privileged to have been introduced to it in a way that it was all very nice and friendly. And, you know, we want you to be the best person you can be, and God loves you and God loves everybody. And, you know, this is the stuff that's taught when you're a kid, but that's not always the stuff that's led with when you are an adult and you have these first interactions with faith and religion and church and Christianity. So that's become a thing I've really loved about the project as it's kind of developed, is I want people to see the Bible as approachable, to see the Bible as something that, like, hey, these are stories about people that are just like me. They're just trying to figure this thing out and they're making mistakes. They're making like huge, egregious mistakes, some of which we as a church are like, we'll talk about, and some of which we don't talk about much at all. Like, a quick, for instance, not to just piggyback on David here today, but we'll often talk about David and Bathsheba in that situation, and we've kind of like got our collective church take on that. But we so infrequently talk about David's like parenting mishaps, which are pretty egregious, or his dancing. Michael gets a bad rap on that one. We're probably going to do a podcast on that story, so I don't want to get too much into it. But, you know, I'm just going to suggest potentially that David wasn't the best dancer, and maybe that's why Michael was struggling with that whole scene. That's all I'm going to say. Food for thought. But yeah, I have loved seeing people interact with the Bible in a different way than maybe they're accustomed to. And if it's some of their first interactions, maybe it's a way that makes them feel comfortable and encourages them to look more into what's this whole thing about. And they'll see something that we'll often get comments on the page like, oh, I had to go look that up to make sure that that was actually in there, or I had to go, you know, read that for myself and things. And that's like, that's every time I see that, I'm like, that's it. That's the whole point. I want you to be in there in the parts that you haven't read before and feel like, yeah, that's great. I want to see that. I want to see what that's about. I want to see more about that. So that's the kind of stuff we're going to talk about on the Bible is Funny podcast. I think we're going to try to do like one of these a week is going to be my goal. So come along for the ride. Tell your friends. Like and subscribe. What are all the things I'm supposed to say at the end? You know, rate us, review us, give us a Yelp comment. All of the things that you can do to help. Super appreciated on our end. And that's it. We'll do it again here soon. Bye, guys. Be safe.